like, sure, you can maybe claw out of the basement and be at the door that leads into the kitchen, but at the end of the day, you're not in the dining room, bro. You ain't eating. That table is reserved for Kayvon, Joe, Kevin, MJ, maybe.
Yo, what is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Commish Talk podcast with your hosts MJ Padua and Joe Bianchi.
How's it going, everybody?
We got a great episode lined up for you guys. We're going to be talking about some trade. You just heard a snippet of that conversation a little bit ago. And we're going to be doing a back and forth style mock draft where Joe and I are going to be giving our player comps for these up and coming rookies and where we think they're going to be landing in our rookie dynasty football draft. But first, let's jump into these trades.
So trade number one, I gave Julio Jones and Kayvon gave Kareem Hunt, Ian Thomas, Mecole Hardman, and two 2023s in this year draft. What do you think about it? Who do you think won? Was it fair? Was it even?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting trade. I think it was a good trade to kind of kick off our offseason. I think Kayvon's getting a piece that he kind of needed at wide receiver. You know, when we're going back to our rankings, we're talking about how Kayvon needed to either draft our wide receiver or trade for wide receiver. And I think he is kind of in this win now mode, and Julio Jones is a piece that really fits in his team. You know, Julio Jones is going to be in Atlanta for at least another year. You know, Julio Jones has like no signs of letting up. I think Julio Jones is a really good piece for Kayvon. I think what you are getting, MJ, you're getting a lot of value for that. And I think it was a good time to offload, and I think you're getting good value for it. So I think this really helps both teams. I like that you're getting two draft picks, even though you didn't have a lot of draft picks. I think now, like, you know, you're loading up in the third round. I think you have like three or four picks in the third round. Ian Thomas, like, I love Ian Thomas in Carolina. I think that, you know, they're obviously, I think he's going to be their guy for this year at least. And so I think he's going to be a pretty solid tight end there. Kareem Hunt, I think, is an interesting pick in Cleveland. You got to love Nick Chubb, but I think Kareem Hunt is probably the best handcuff out there in terms of being a backup running back to somebody. I think, you know, if, God forbid, Nick Chubb went down, I think Kareem Hunt could fill in pretty well, and he would be starting in everybody's roster. And then Mecole Hardman, I think, is just kind of probably the last piece of value I see on there. I think he's just kind of a decent wide receiver. I don't really have too much to say about him, but I think it's a pretty good trade for both teams. And I could see it. Did you initiate the trade?
I did not initiate the trade. There was one counter offer back and forth, and that was it. So he was pretty close to the initial offer. But when I first thought it through, I was like, I'm actually willing to give away Julio because, one, I think Kayvon's roster at this point was kind of on a time clock because he's like, in, like you said, in win now mode. He's been second the first year of the league, third this last year. And I think he really wants the chip this year. And so I was like, hey, he's all in. He's willing to give up value in the long term. I was like, all right, I'm willing to do it because, one, I want to give Kayvon that timestamp. I don't want him to be in the top four for much longer. And then I was like, all right, I get Kareem Hunt. Like you said, he's a great handcuff. And Kareem Hunt's also a great pass catching back out of the backfield. I know Nick Chubb is a good one too. But I think we don't know how this new offense in Cleveland is going to run. And then Ian Thomas, Mecole Hardman, they were kind of more bells and whistles. I like Mecole's ceiling. And I really like the draft picks because I want to hopefully package them for a deal later. To move up into the first, because like we talked about in our power rankings episode, I don't have a pick in the first and I would really like one.
All right, this next trade is Kevin giving Eric Deebo Samuel and Allen Robinson for Juju Smith-Schuster. What do you think about this one?
This is an interesting trade as well. I think this trade happened because obviously Kevin was higher on Juju than Eric was, and Eric was higher on Deebo and A-Rob than Kevin was. I think so. It just kind of depends on what your belief in the future of these players are. You know, will Juju cement himself back as like a high-end wide receiver when Big Ben comes back and when their offense gets rolling again? Will Deebo Samuels continue to improve and continue to be that number one wide receiver in San Francisco? And then Allen Robinson, you know, like if Chicago, you know, moves on from their quarterback situation, like will Allen Robinson like be able to like catch the ball? Yeah, I would say Eric won because he kind of gets two young wide receivers, and you know, I think one of them's gonna have at least a good career and they both could have decent careers. But I think Juju also has too many question marks for me, and I think it's hard to know what their quarterback situation is gonna be like, you know, like after Big Ben leaves, it's like, is Juju gonna stay in Pittsburgh? And so I think that's kind of long down the road, so I don't think he has to worry about that too much. But I think it's hard to give up Deebo Samuel. So I'm surprised that Kevin made this trade, to be honest.
Yeah. I talked to Kevin a little bit afterwards, and just hearing how he feels about Deebo, it made sense why he made this trade, given his value system and that he works with for these players. And it makes sense that if you value Deebo the way that he does, that you'd want Juju Smith in return, that would be a trade that you'd want to make. I think this is one of those trades we'll just have to see at the end to really evaluate this trade well.
And it's also one of those situations where Kevin's so deep at wide receiver and he has so many valuable players that it kind of does make sense just to consolidate to, you know, younger players that he might have question marks on for like a player that he's maybe high on. And so,
okay, let's get on to the big trade. Well, I guess there's another trade, but that one doesn't really matter. Shaves gave Tyrell Williams and a 2020 second for Damian Williams.
Yeah, Shaves, don't give up your 2020 seconds. Those are a lot more valuable than you think. And yeah, we don't even really have to get into this trade because you guys should be actually trading for higher stakes players. I don't even know why this trade is on here. We're just going to move on.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So without further ado, the big trade that has the league buzzing right now. So we have Joseph giving up the first overall pick in the draft, the 2020-101, and AJ Green for Kayvon's Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, Kendrick Bourne, Caden Smith, and his 2021 second. I have a lot to say. I have a lot of disappointment I want to communicate, but I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, so I have mixed feelings about this trade. I think at the end of the day, I think both teams improved from this trade. So I don't think you can say somebody really lost in this trade. I do think that Joseph could have gotten more and could have gotten maybe players in, I don't know, better situations, players with less question marks for me. Let's just break it down a little bit, I guess. So the 2021st, that's going to be a really stud running back or wide receiver if your team really needs that, but it's probably going to be running back the way that this draft class is. And so you're giving up a player who's got long-term longevity on, and you have a pick at like three really good running backs in the top. And so whoever has the best situation, whoever you think is the most talented, you have the pick among them. And so you're giving up that for, in my mind, two running backs who have pretty big question marks for me. One is Melvin Gordon, who didn't really have the best year last year. I mean, he had a shared workload with Austin Eckler. And
we also held out.
Yeah, he also held out for the majority of the year. But, I mean, even when he came back, he didn't have that great of a year. And he's going to Denver, where they already have a shared backfield. So it's like, I don't love that Denver backfield. And I actually had Melvin Gordon in another one of my leagues, and I was pretty bummed that he was going to Denver. And then you have Leonard Fournette, who kind of surprised me last year with how well he came back from that injury his sophomore year. But I'm not exactly sure if, you know, that's going to be the story of this year or the story of the year after that. And so you're giving up a player who is going to have longevity in that rookie first round pick for two players who I don't know what their fantasy outlook is going to look like in 3 years. You know, the running back position, player longevity goes by really quick. I think right now, yeah, they're big names and they look good, but I think that this is a really good pivot for Kayvon. Those are two players, if I had them on my team, I would be looking for the right trade to dump them off somewhere. And I think this is a perfect trade for Kayvon to dump them off. And Kayvon is also getting AJ Green, who, you know, is going to be a pretty good wide receiver. I'm not the highest on AJ Green. I don't think that he's going to be a wide receiver one next year, but I do think he has the ceiling of being a wide receiver one for sure. I mean, it's kind of like how we were talking about how Kayvon didn't have a lot of wide receivers. Now, when you look at his team, he has a lot of viable wide receivers that he can choose from.
Yeah.
And so where he only had two, like at the end of last year, I think. And so, and then Joseph's getting a 2021 second round. I mean, the 2021 class is going to be good too, but it's nothing like the 2020 class. And Kayvon's 2021 second round is basically a third. So I look at this and I see like a third round pick, an early third round pick to me. And then I mean, Kendrick Bourne and Caden Smith, for me, they're not players that I would even be keeping. And so I think it's, when I look at this trade, I don't even keep them in my mind. So in my mind, Joseph made a trade for Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, and a third round pick, but he gave up his first round pick in AJ Green.
And his 101 pick.
I could see him giving up AJ Green and like a mid first or like an early first, but I really think he could have gotten more for 101. It's hard to say that Joseph won. I think that Kayvon, if I had to say somebody won, I think it'd be Kayvon, but I do think that Joseph's team looks better now. I mean, I think it diversified his team a little bit more, and now he has two running backs that he can stream starting week one, but we'll see if he can be still streaming them by week 14. So that's my take.
Yeah. Kayvon, you broke me, bud. You broke me. With this trade with Joseph, you broke me. I give up, dude. I don't know how. I don't know why. You're a wizard. You've sold your soul to make trades in fantasy football and to finish third every year. I don't know. I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you continue to get people with this my four quarters equals your dollar kind of trades. And what it boils down to is if you think that the 101 is not as valuable as Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette, because let's be real. If you're keeping guys like Kendrick Bourne and Caden Smith, you're not competing this year. You're not. Your roster is not built to compete this year if you're keeping tight end handcuffs. You're not competing this year if you're keeping guys who are in a mixed wide receiver room. And not only that, you're not competing this next year. You're trading for guys who are only going to help your team this next year. It makes no sense to me. Your roster isn't good enough to compete this year, but you're going to pull off a trade that says, I want to win now. It's like, sure, you can maybe claw out of the basement and be at the door that leads into the kitchen. But at the end of the day, you're not in the dining room, bro. You ain't eating. That table is reserved for Kayvon, Joe, Kevin, MJ, maybe. I'm at the kids table right now. They might invite me later.
We might invite Tim.
You might invite Tim. They might invite Eric. Maybe Braden if he pulls off some trades over the season. But not you, man. Not you. I think why I'm also impassioned about this so much is I believe I'm in the solo minority in that I think Kayvon absolutely won. And the way I see this trade is that it could, at the end of the season, we could look back and be like, okay, it was a decent trade both ways. What I see more likely happening is saying, man, Joseph really got shafted. There's multiple layers to it, but essentially what Joseph did was he put his team's hopes in the hamstrings of one Leonard Fournette. And I am not willing to do that. I am not willing to do that. We talked about this at last episode with Kevin, who is the mirage, the bamboozler, the hoodwinker of this fantasy football game that we play. And we all said it's Leonard Fournette. The way I see these two players is nowhere near the value that you're getting at 101. Let's just look back at the top running backs. You have Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery. Those are the top three running backs fantasy-wise from last season. I would take any of them, even David Montgomery, with who kind of had a bust season for me. I would take him over Melvin Gordon, just straight up. I think a lot of people would. Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, or David Montgomery for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, if somebody offered me David Montgomery from Melvin Gordon, I definitely consider it and probably would accept it.
Yeah, I would send it right away. There would be no need for a counter offer because I'd be just greedy. Like, I would take that right away, especially in a dynasty league, folks.
Yeah, in dynasty.
And then let's take a look a year back, right? We had Saquon Barkley. And then let's even go back a year further, right? And then you have, like, what was it, Alvin Kamara the year before that? And
that year was awesome.
And so I think the odds of Kayvon hitting with the 101 are far greater than Leonard Fournette playing a full 16 and Melvin Gordon standing out in a crowded backfield.
I think what it boils down to for me is that, like what you're saying about how he's getting two running backs who aren't going to have long-term viability, and he's not really in a position to win now. He's not like on the cusp of playoffs, and he's like just needs these players to get there. I think these players are going to help him, you know, not have a completely losing record, but he's not going to have a winning record. And so, yeah, I think Joseph's team looks better on paper, but I don't think he's going to have the long-term viability. How this benefits Kayvon long-term, though, just like hurts me every time I think about it. I think about how Kayvon has just had this stacked team, and I'm thinking, what's the shelf life for his team? Okay, well, he has Saquon Barkley, but other than that, he doesn't really have much. You know, he has Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. They all, like, have been banged up before, and I'm just hoping that they get banged up again. And then he pulls off this trade where he gets basically another Saquon. It sucks because I know that, like, when I'm thinking about the shelf life of his team, now I'm thinking, like, I think I have a pretty good team, but I think my shelf life is less than Kayvon's. I think Kayvon's going to be a threat in this league for a long time. And when we were talking about in the last podcast of who do we see falling off the top three or four, I don't think that Kayvon's going to fall off the top three or four in a while unless, like, some serious injuries, like, happen to his team. I think he's got really good depth, and I think he's got really young talent now.
I think we're going to look back, and everybody's going to be where I'm at and just be like, wow, Kayvon, well done. Like, you absolutely, you're 2 for 2 on the Luna boys. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep going back to that same well. Keep offering them trades. If they're going to take them, dude, I can't blame you.
And we'll see. We'll see. I think what this solidifies for me, though, is Joseph has now moved up in the tier list, and Shades has solidified himself as the worst fantasy football team in our league.
Well, Shaves hasn't solidified that. Joseph solidified that.
Yeah, Joseph solidified that for Shaves. Well, but Shaves, you're also solidifying it with these Damian Williams trade. Come on, man.
Trade something. Come on, we want to see a banger, Shaves. Let's see a banger. You got to get something cooking. I don't know what you have to offer. But anyways, dude, so that's a lot of fun. It's all in jest. We know you guys are taking risks out there trying to compete this year, trying to get into that dining room table, you know, trying to eat with Joe and Kevin and Kayvon. You know, I'm still trying to get my invite. We'll see what happens. So keep grinding, guys. Keep on making trades. These are fun to talk about. All right. Well, that was all the trades that are recent. That's what we want to talk about. We want to transition to the next part. We're going to talk about the mock draft. We're talking about all of these draft picks, the 101 that Kayvon got. Well, let's go and talk about who we think these picks are going to turn into.
So before we start, I think some interesting points to mention before we start is that obviously it's a little too early to do this. I think a lot of these players are going to shift just based off of which team drafts them and which situation they land in, and you know, who their complementary skill positions are in that team and who's throwing them the rock and who's handing them the rock. And so we'll see. But I think this is a pretty good list for now. And so we'll kind of see how this goes. But people who don't draft in the first round, just to kind of get that out of the way, MJ, you do not draft in the first round. So I'm mm-hmm. sorry, we will not be mentioning you.
That's all good.
Joseph, you also do not draft in the first round, AKA that last segment we just talked about. And Kevin, you do not draft in the first round either. And so we do have Eric. I believe he's drafting 3 times in the first round. So we'll be talking about Eric's team a lot. But yeah, MJ, do you want to kick us off with the first round pick? Who is Kayvon selecting in the 2020 draft?
I think Kayvon's going to get DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. Quick guy, catch the ball out of the backfield really well, soft hands, can run routes decently well out of the backfield as well. Really fast. The last name fits him pretty perfectly. I think that one would be pretty clear. I don't think he'll take any of these top wide receivers just because running backs in a full PPR league, if they can catch the ball out of the backfield, they are so valuable. And I think Kayvon's going to pick up a player that will be on his roster until he trades him to one of the Luna boys when he's 32.
Yeah, I also have DeAndre Swift going first. I think it could be one of the wide receivers, one of the top two, but I mean, it's not out of the question for them to go first round or second round, but I definitely see DeAndre Swift. He's a really good talent, and we see how much Kayvon loves those running backs. And so, we have him compared as a Dalvin Cook. Kayvon already has Dalvin Cook, so he basically just cloned him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really going to help his team in the long term. I think if one of these running backs goes down, it's basically a substitute for them. I mean, he's so stacked at running back that he can basically decide who he's starting week in and week out based off of matchup, because he's just got so much talent at running back. And so I think you go with Dalvin Cook DeAndre Swift. And, you know, if Dalvin Cook, you know, continues to be injury prone, then you've got his clone. Next up, Basti would be picking, but he traded it to Eric for literal scraps, is what I wrote. He traded it for Aaron Rodgers, I believe. It was something silly like that. But Eric is picking second. And I have him picking Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor, you know, he could go first depending on the landing spot of these two running backs. I think there's a lot of question about who's the clear number one running back. I think a lot of people are saying Swift, but I've heard some Taylors as well. He's the running back at Wisconsin. The two comps that we have for him is he's a durable Ryan Matthews, and MJ, you wrote Melvin Gordon. Do you want to talk a little bit about Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, dude. So I'm a big fan of Jonathan Taylor in terms of just being built. I really want to just give him the Saquon Barkley tag because
Jonathan Taylor is 5'11", 220, and Saquon is 6'2", 230. Those 10 extra pounds are all in his thighs. But seriously, they are like physical clones of each other.
And not only that, Jonathan Taylor was a workhorse in Wisconsin where Melvin Gordon also went. That's not why, but Melvin Gordon was a workhorse coming out of Wisconsin as well. They fed him the ball. Jonathan Taylor carried the ball 926 times. That's a lot of carries. That is
He broke Adrian Peterson's like rushing record too.
Yeah,
it was like freshman year.
they put the team on his back right from the get-go, ran him right into the ground, which is why I put Melvin Gordon there, because I think the talent is there. Like I think he's uber talented. I think the biggest asterisk I have with Jonathan Taylor is I think you have to might sell him earlier. And I mean like, you know, three or four years earlier than you would a DeAndre Swift.
You think the treads are just a little bit off?
Yeah. I just think Jonathan Taylor, he's just going to get more goal line work than DeAndre Swift. It wouldn't surprise me if Jonathan Taylor scored more touchdowns this year, more rushing touchdowns, but DeAndre Swift gets the slight edge because of the passing work that he can do.
Moving on, Eric picks again, third round. This is his pick. And he, for me, I think would be drafting the first wide receiver off the board. So for me, the two top wide receivers are Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. And I think it's just, honestly, they're a toss-up for me. I think it's going to come down to which NFL team drafts them. But for me, I think Jerry Jeudy just has a little bit more talent. He's a wide receiver from Bama. Our comp that I've given him is the OBJ comp. I think he's got great hands. I think his route running is awesome. The reason why I think Eric is going to be drafting Jerry Jeudy instead of one of these other running backs is just he's already drafting a running back the round before. And I don't expect him to go running back, but I mean, it's not out of the question for him too. But I think if you have the opportunity to take the best wide receiver in the draft, you take that and mm-hmm. you walk away with the second best running back as well. And so I think that's a pretty baller move for him to be able to pull off. But I also see him taking running back, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But what do you think, gotcha. MJ?
Yeah, I have Eric doing that and going running back. Again, I think Eric sees the value of running backs in a full PPR league. I have him taking J.K. Dobbins. A couple of the reasons why is J.K. Dobbins, he can do it all. He's pretty well-rounded. It's kind of like that jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none deal. One of the things that I really like about J.K. Dobbins is he's really smooth. I think somebody he reminds me of is Le'Veon Bell type. He's patient. He has good vision. But the one thing that he can't do is pass protection. And if you can't do pass pro in the NFL, you don't really play third down that much unless you can catch. And he's a natural catcher, but we'll just kind of see kind of his ceiling. I don't think his ceiling is as high as the other guys, but I think he does have a lot to offer a team right away. So next we have Braden up. Braden is kind of the wild card of the league. He doesn't trade ever. So we don't know what his style is. We don't know how he evaluates his players. We don't know any of that. So I just kind of went with talent available. You went with Jerry Jeudy to Eric in the last pick. I'm going Jerry Jeudy here for B-Dub. The reason why I'm doing this is he doesn't need a running back. He has Ezekiel Elliott and some other guys there too. And so Jerry Jeudy just seems like the best value pick here for me. What do you think?
For sure. I think I see Braden drafting wide receiver. I don't think a running back is out of the question, looking at his team's needs. The wide receiver that I would pick, because I already picked Jerry Jeudy, would be CeeDee Lamb. Like I said before, I could see CeeDee Lamb going before Jerry Jeudy. They're kind of a toss-up for me. He's the wide receiver out of Oklahoma, and the team player comp I've given him is DeAndre Hopkins. You know, he's got great hands, great route running. I think he's a really big dude that can hop over people, and I think he's going to be a stud in this league for a while. And so I think wherever he goes, I think, you know, he's a great pick. Yeah, I like CeeDee Lamb a lot, and I think he would just add to the stacked wide receivers that Braden has, and so I could see that for him. Talking about stacked wide receivers, we're moving on to Tim. And I see Tim actually taking a running back this year. And I say he's going to take J.K. Dobbins if he's not already off the board. And so J.K. Dobbins, running back out of Ohio State, you already kind of talking about him, MJ, but I also really like J.K. Dobbins. I could see him being the second running back off the board. You know, he's from Ohio State. Zeke was from Ohio State. He's got just great route running. He's got great hands. I think he's kind of the whole package. I think I have heard a lot of people talk about his pass protection, but for me, I think, you know, his measurables in terms of running the rock is just really great. And so I really like J.K. Dobbins. You know, if he fell to me in the draft, I'd probably instant pick him. But yeah, so I see Tim taking him. And honestly, out of all of the teams, I see Tim's team getting a boost from being able to draft a running back here. If the running back, one of these top three running backs, does fall to him, just with having Josh Jacobs and then now J.K. Dobbins, I just look at that team and, you know, he's also got like just really young wide receivers. And so he's just got this young core of guys who are going to be good in this league for a long time. And if he continues to hold on to them and just, I guess, groom them on his team and just wait for his moment to shine, I think it's going to come eventually. And so I think Tim's sitting in a really good spot. And yeah, I really like his outlook for this draft. Who do you think Tim's going to be taking?
Yeah, I have Tim here taking Henry Ruggs, which is a little bit of a surprise pick. A lot of people like CeeDee Lamb a little bit better than Henry Ruggs. A couple of the reasons why I went with Henry Ruggs over CeeDee Lamb for Tim is because, one, there's a hype factor around Henry Ruggs, right? He's so fast. He's uber fast, right? Everybody thought he was going to break the record this year. He kind of disappointed with a 4.27, which is saying a lot that he disappointed with a 4.27, right? Like, that's so gnarly. But there are a couple things that I really like about Henry Ruggs as well, other than the hype factor, of course. I think he runs his routes decently well. And because he's so quick, I think he'll be able to catch a lot of underneath stuff and just take it to the house. It's like you see Tyreek Hill, and he's not just fast, he's quick. And I think Henry Ruggs is the same way. He's not just straight line speed. And I think he'll add a lot of pop to a roster that is pretty solid already. But just having that threat of like, hey, dude, like, I'm going to play this guy and he can go for 30 points, you know? And then after Tim picks, we have you. You're up. And I can go first because mine's more conditional than yours. So I have you taking CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb falls into your lap, and I think you are rejoicing because CeeDee Lamb is also going to be really good. I think
I love CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, if CeeDee Lamb drops to you, I think you'd be really excited, especially with where he's going to drop at. I mean, some say he might go to something like the Broncos, things like that, but we'll see where he goes. But if he gets into the right offense, dude, I think you got another wide receiver two this year, and then probably a wide receiver one in the years to come.
For sure. I would love it if CeeDee Lamb fell to me. But the player that, if CeeDee Lamb does not fall to me, the player that I would probably take is Clyde Edwards, the running back from LSU. He's a really ground and pound running back. He's a super stud. The player comp that I've seen his name floating around is Devontae Freeman. And so just kind of a solid running back. I think that would be a really cool piece for my team, is just having a solid running back that could replace one of my starters on bye weeks or just be a good flex play option and then hopefully transition into a solid player later on. But I do think that having a wide receiver for my team would be really solid. So I'm hoping that Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb fall. The reason why I wouldn't take a Henry Ruggs, for instance, I'm not super high on Henry Ruggs. And so maybe I'll have to take a little bit more look into him. I think Jerry Jeudy might be overshadowing him a little bit for me, but I really like Clyde Edwards from LSU. And I think he's going to be a really solid running back. Picking sixth and kind of being in this spot is kind of interesting, because I think this is where I think the top tier kind of falls off a little bit. And it's still a pretty high tier for most drafts, but for this draft in particular, I think those top five picks are super solid and players I would love to have. So I've been trying to trade up into the top five just to guarantee one of those picks, unsuccessfully, I might add. But yeah, I think Clyde Edwards would be a pick that I'd be excited to have at sixth. And yeah, I got the sixth pick from Shaves for Lamar Miller, so I'll take that.
Yeah, that's really good.
Speaking of Shaves, who got this pick from MJ, I think that he will be taking wide receiver in this next year's draft. And the wide receiver I would recommend him to take is T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson. I've heard a lot about this guy, and I think he's kind of a sleeper pick. I think a lot of people might value a couple other wide receivers above him, but I think the player comp that a lot of people have been talking about is an AJ Green. And so I really see T. Higgins being that third wide receiver off the board in fantasy. And so we'll see kind of how that plays out, and what it's really going to depend on what team he lands on in NFL. But I like T. Higgins a lot, and he's somebody I'm going to be keeping my eye on when the draft's coming up.
Yeah, I have Shabes going running back here. If I was Shabes, I'd look to move back because he needs a running back, but I don't think the running backs here meet the value of the pick. I think he could move back a couple spots and still take this player. But I have him taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire here from LSU. You had him going a pick ahead where you were at. I'm not super high on him. He's kind of like that jack of all trades, master of none that I talked about with J.K. Dobbins, except he does everything less good. Yeah. I'm not super hyped on him. From what I've read, what I've looked into, I think teams really like him, and so I think he might go a little bit higher, might be get more usage right off the bat from whatever team drafts him. So I think Shabes goes here. I think there are many options. Like I said, if I was Shabes, I would just try to trade back, or I would try to take a wide receiver. He doesn't need one though. He really needs a running back. His running backs right now going into next season are Marlon Mack and Damian Williams. So I think that's where he goes. The next pick after Shabes is going to be Eric again, from this time from Kayvon. What do you think he does here at this pick?
Yeah, so I said Eric went running back, wide receiver, and if he does so, I see him drafting running back here. If you went running back, this would be a great spot to draft wide receiver. But if he did go running back, wide receiver, I see him taking running back from Florida State, Cam Akers. And so if he does take, what did I say? If he takes Jonathan Taylor, Jerry Jeudy, and Cam Akers, I think that's a really solid pull from this year's draft, and I think how we were kind of talking about how he's already been making waves, I think you're going to realize how good his team really looks after this year's draft. Cam Akers, the comp I've been hearing a lot is Duke Johnson. And so, you know, just a running back who can catch the ball really well and, you know, can also run some good routes and is just kind of durable. And so I think he's a pretty solid pick from Florida State. I think that's kind of weird because there's a lot of running backs kind of at this spot who could also go above him. We'll talk about one that I think is going next, but I think like I've been saying this whole time, it's really going to depend on what team they land at in the situation. But I really like Cam Akers. I think he's versatile and can really be on a lot of teams. And I think what's useful about Cam Akers as well is he's going to be that like complimentary back. He's not necessarily going to be the guy, but he's going to be like the other guy, you know, who's always like a good flex play. And so I think just having that guy can be really useful for a team. You don't always have to have the DeAndre Swifts or, you know, the Christian McCaffreys or the, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have a guy who's like, he's solid and he will always be solid. And I see Cam kind of filling into that role for Eric's team.
Yeah, dude, I have him going wide receiver here. So it's kind of funny. We have those positions flipped with Eric's second or third pick. But I have him going wide receiver here. So I kind of want to prep this one a little bit. So yeah. What we've seen from Eric so far is that he is a very solid fantasy GM. I like the way he plays, but what I have yet to see from Eric, I want to see some splash, man. I want to see some sauce. So I have him going Laviska Shenault. Laviska, I'm really high on him. I think if it weren't for the toe injury that happened, I think we'd be talking about him. I think you have the top tier of Jerry Jeudy. Then you have CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs right next to each other. And then right behind them is Laviska Shenault. Obviously, you also have Justin Jefferson. You have T. Higgins. And the reason why I haven't taken Laviska Shenault is because Laviska Shenault, for the same reason why I told you I like Deebo Samuels, is he's going to slot into that future position that the NFL really likes right now, which is going to be that hybrid wing back, which plays a lot of slot receiver, a lot of wing back tight end, a lot of running, like designed runs for them. He just has the size to be able to do that. He has the physical tools to be able to do that. The only thing that he has going against him is going to be this toe injury that's pretty recent, which I think he'll be able to come back from. Players usually are able to move past toe injuries pretty easily. But also his production level. But if you look back, the Colorado Buffaloes, man, their offense is pretty bad. So it would be really hard to produce there. So I have Laviska Shenault going here. I have some sauce going Eric's way. I really would like this pick. I would love to see him on Eric's team. But yeah, man.
Yeah, for me, Yeah, I like Laviska Shenault a lot. I think he'll probably be a second round wide receiver, but like you said,
same.
It could be he could make a splash in the first round. So that's what I like that pick there. Moving on, we have Basti, who took Kevin's pick. And Basti, I have him taking running back. Really, Basti's team needs a lot, so I get to see him taking wide receiver as well. But I think Zach Moss would be a really good running back for him to have. I like Basti taking running back here to pair with James Conner. I think Zach Moss is a really good young talent. I could see him. I could see Eric taking him eighth and, you know, Basti taking Cam Akers instead. But yeah, it's really going to kind of come down to on which team he lands on. And I could even see him landing on a really good team and me taking him sixth, or him like passing up Clyde Edwards or a player like that stature. So I think the more and more I dive into this draft class, it kind of opens my eyes to, wow, Basti's taking like a Zach Moss at ninth. Like basically a second round pick is Zach Moss could be. And so I think it really kind of opens my eyes to like how valuable these picks are. And I kind of wish I would have held on to my second round picks a little bit more tightly, but yeah, this draft class is super deep at both running back and wide receiver. So it could really be a toss up for Basti.
Yeah, I have him going with T. Higgins. I really like him a lot. A wide receiver out of Clemson. Like you said, AJ Green style kind of player. I really like T. Higgins because he can go up and get the ball. He has good straight line speed. He's just a really reliable target. Obviously, he had, you know, maybe one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time throwing him the ball with Trevor Lawrence, who, my goodness, I'm just going to start stocking up on picks just to take him. I just want all the quarterbacks, even though we're not a super flex league. But Kevin will like that. Kevin thinks I overvalue quarterbacks, but we'll see. Anyways, I like T. Higgins a lot here. I think he could also go Justin Jefferson, who's also from Clemson. They're both really good. Justin Jefferson might have a higher touchdown count because he's such a red zone threat, but I think T. Higgins will offer the value game in and game out. He'll be able to just plug him in as a starter right away, which is kind of saying a lot. It's just that Basti's team just needs a lot of work. I mean, he has Tyrell Williams, Larry Fitzgerald, N'Keal Harry, Breshad Perriman. He has J.D. McKissic, Philip Dorsett, Dante Pettis, Auden Tate. Like, he has a bunch of guys who are unproven or just kind of buried on a depth chart. So I think T. Higgins is the pick, but it could really be any other wide receiver here. So we'll see. Another wide receiver I really like is Chase Claypool. I don't know if Sebastian will like, I think Sebastian will want kind of the more surefire thing, where Chase Claypool is kind of more of a risky pick.
For sure. Speaking of risky picks for me, I like Basti. Basti is taking the 10th round pick. He got it from me. I think Basti will be taking Henry Ruggs in the 10th round pick. For me, Henry Ruggs is kind of a risky pick, and that's kind of why I didn't have him a little higher. I do think his speed is off the charts, but it's nothing like a Tyreek Hill. I think it's like similar to Tyreek Hill, but it's kind of the poor man's Tyreek Hill. The comp I've seen a lot from him is Deshaun Jackson. And so kind of like you were talking about him earlier, he does have that potential just to drop a 30 bomb on you. But I think you will see him a lot of weeks, you know, dropping these like 3 bombs, 5 bombs, you know? And so I think if you're wanting to make a splash, Henry Ruggs could be, I see him being a really boom bust player. And so I'm not super high on Henry Ruggs for that reason. And that's why I see him falling like so much farther than that. But I think if Basti is able to get a decent running back at ninth, then, you know, taking wide receiver 10th is the play. Yeah, I think it's really nice that he has those back-to-back picks, because he can really kind of improve his team and just kind of get the players he's high on that kind of fell to him. So he can start developing this list of players he thinks are, you know, riskier picks. And so he can pick kind of a player that he thinks is more surefire, and then take somebody who he thinks like has a really high ceiling. And I see that being Henry Ruggs for him.
Yeah. Just a note, Tyreek Hill ran a 4.29 40 at the combine, and Henry Ruggs ran a 4.27. Obviously 0.02 of a second doesn't mean too much, and game speed is way different than a 40-yard dash. I totally get that. Tyreek Hill's game speed is unreal, but if you just put on the film, like, Henry Ruggs' speed and how fast he can get to that speed just really jumps out. So I think you'll see that their speeds are pretty comparable. I have Sebastian going Cam Akers here, which I think is a steal. I think he gets Cam Akers here because I can't see Eric going running back, running back, running back. And I think Shaves will take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be the pick here. It just depends. Whoever Shaves doesn't take out of these two, Sebastian will probably get, in my eyes and the way I have it put up here. We'll see after the draft where these people land. Cam Akers could go all the way as like being the third running back taken over J.K. Dobbins. It just all depends on where they land. But I really like Cam Akers a lot. So we'll just see. We'll just see how it kind of shakes out. But anyways, that's the mock draft that we have for you guys. Let us know what you guys think. Hit us up. Get the conversations going. We would love to see some more shakeups, some more trades happening, people moving back. Shabes, like I said, I think you could move back and still get the same value that you would get at that pick anyways. All of this stuff. You know, you could pick a player maybe. I'm just kind of priming the pump for a trade I want to send you right now.
Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah. And,
I'm excited to do this again after the NFL draft. We're going to kind of get a better picture of the landing spots of these players and kind of get an idea of how they're going to fit into the schemes and the roles that that team has for them. And so I'm excited to see where these players land. And yeah, this is a little way too early to do a mock draft, but it's a kind of excited to get the ball rolling. And yeah, I'm definitely
Now, Joe, we know everybody's locked up because of coronavirus. What is one rec that you have for people to just kind of do to pass the time?
My rec for you guys this week is getting out of the house and going on a nice walk. I went on a walk today and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I haven't been outside of the house probably in a week. I know some of you guys probably are getting out of the house every day and you're like, that's kind of crazy. But yeah, I've been kind of locked down and just hanging out. And yeah, just going on a walk with the wife was really nice. And it was nice just to kind of get some fresh air and just kind of remember what it's like to not look at a computer screen for a while. So yeah, if you haven't done that in a while, that's my recommend for you boys. MJ, what's your rec this week?
My rec for you guys is a website called drivethelane.com. What it is a simulated college basketball program where you are the head coach. You do all the recruiting for high school seniors. Three of them will end up joining your team. And then you compete in a 24-game season for the national title. It is played Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 p.m. PST. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, that would be my rec this week for you guys is drivethelane.com. It's a lot of fun. If you want more info, hit me up. But yeah, that's my rec for this week. Thanks for asking, Joe. And that's all we have for you guys. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And just as always, don't trade with Kayvon.